Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, we're going to go down here to verse number 21. In our consideration of the kingdom, we're looking at passages where the Lord, in all these cases, it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking during the day of his ministry, the time of his ministry, where he says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is likened unto something, aspects of the kingdom. We spent some time in an earlier chapter of talking about some of these things here in Matthew and Matthew chapter 13. And now we're moving on here to chapter 18 and taking a look at some things here. Another aspect of the kingdom, a thing that we all need to hear and we all need to learn about this, because it is the telling of the Lord's work in us, having saved us, and what He's done for us in changing us and bringing us from darkness to light, bringing us from death to life. And what He has done in this and in us and how it works out in our lives. Here in verse number 21 of Matthew 18, the Scripture says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" A real good number will be seven, right? Right. Seven times, Lord, would that be good? It's a good number. It brings with it in the Scriptures, it's the number of perfection. So Peter made a good choice in that regard. Seven times, Lord, would that be enough? And when then Jesus saith unto him in verse 22, "I say not unto thee until seven times, Peter," and those there listening and to you and myself here this morning, "but until 70 times 7. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the truth of it. And Lord, we praise Your name, how You instruct us out of Your Word. And Lord, You help us, You instruct us, You show us Your divine way in Your Scripture, Father. And we pray that You'd help us, that we just take it to heart, take it to our lives, apply it, Lord, to our living. Lord, we just not be knowledgeable about the Scriptures, Father, but that we would be obedient and doers of the Scripture and of Your Word. Help us in that. We need to touch upon us. Help us to rightly divide Your Word. And Lord, give us wisdom and help and understanding in it as Your children. Lord, for those who are here not saved, we pray that You might touch them. Lord, You might show them the great need. Lord, You'd reveal unto them Jesus Christ, and Lord, that they'd see Him precious to the salvation of their souls. Father, He is the Savior. He is the only one. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there'll be no person, no one that can come to You but by Him. And we pray, Father, that You might reveal that here this morning to sinners in our midst. Help us now and bless and help us to worship You. Be with those on the prayer list and those of our families and brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that have ailments and illness and sickness. Lord, raise them up. Keep us well. Give us health, Father, and help us that we might serve You with it. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for His sake. Amen. Here, Peter comes to the Lord, and we as we review this chapter, the Lord talks about being a little child, being converted, and without that, becoming as a little child. In verse number 3, there'll be no entrance into the kingdom of heaven. He talks about receiving these little ones and the offending these little ones. Verse number 6, that word offend is scandalizo. It's talk or a scandal idzo. It's talking about a scandalous. We would get that our English word scandalous from that word offend, being such toward a little one. The Lord is really he's really critical about one that would do so. Right, millstone around the neck and thrown in the bottom of the sea. I mean, that's pretty serious, isn't it? And he says offenses are going to come, verse 7. And he says sin is bad. Get away from sin. And he talks about that in verses 8 and 9. And then he says, don't despise these little ones. He said, they're angels, are beholding the face of the Father. Don't despise them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 11, has come to save that which was lost. That's a reason that He came. He says, he tells about 100 sheep and a man having 100 sheep. He will leave the 99 to go get the one. And so the Lord does. And he says, those that are the Lord's, it's not His will that even one would perish. And then He goes here about your brethren. If he trespasses against you, that the Scripture here in Matthew 18 that tells us about personal offense and how we can deal with it right. And then there is, if the one that is wrong is resistant to such, and may the Lord help us that we never be in that wrong party. But it even comes down here, and tying in with Brother Mark's lesson here this morning, the Lord's church did exist before the Lord's crucifixion. And he says, and if it gets down so bad that they won't hear you and brethren that come from the church and witnesses and such, take it to the church. And if they won't hear the church, what's it say? Let them be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Because we in membership in the Lord's church and being a part of that, being added by the Lord to that, we are to submit to the government of the church. And that is it's a spiritual affair. It's not a thing that's just dictated by the pastor, but it's a thing that works with the Word of God to the people of God, the Lord's children that He's placed in the church. We submit one to another in that. And so we get that background of what He's been talking to them about. He says, this church authority, this church responsibility, may the Lord help us so we never get heady as a church. And knowing about the authority that the Lord's given us, He's given us great authority. May the Lord help us and we never misuse it, because we are responsible for it. Just because we've got it doesn't mean it'll be automatic that we'll use it right. We need to seek the Lord's face, and through prayer, study of His Word, and have the Word of God to back us up as we do and pursue in this operation and work of the church. Then Peter asks his question, and I want to take you over here to Luke chapter 17. You can hold your place here, hold your finger here. We'll be coming back to this. I believe that this is parallel scripture to this in the account of Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 17, the Lord is speaking here in verse number 1. And then said He unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And so here the Lord, the words of the Lord here, Luke refers to as the Lord being proactive in this and saying, he's saying, if he offends seven times and he comes and repent, forgive him seven times in one day. And that's not contradictory at all to what the Lord is dealing with here in Matthew chapter 18, because Peter comes to him and says, well, is seven enough? Is that the limit? And we know about Peter. He represents us. He'll represent me. He's always looking for that fine line, find the edge, find the requirement. And the Lord says, no, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven, 490 times in a day. I had that figured up against 24 hours. I failed to do it in this Bible. I've got it in another Bible that I did that years ago. But, I mean, that's quite a few times. It's like 60 times a 30 times an hour. Am I getting that right? Maybe is that some close math that's there? That's a lot of times. That's a lot of times, isn't it? 20 times an hour or something like that. And so the Lord says this in verse number 23. And I believe, and we have other scriptures that we can go to, and even this passage we're going to consider this morning backs it up. You know, we need to be a forgiving people. We've been forgiven. And our Lord forgave us. And, you know, He forgave us in Christ before we even knew anything about it. Now I understand, you know, the Lord lives in the ever-present now. But we live in time, and there is that aspect where the Lord brought us to salvation. We repented, we believed, we trusted in Christ, the Lord saved our souls, and we were then forgiven. Okay, that's how it came about to work, the Lord working salvation in us. But in Christ, He'd forgiven us. The Lord had paid the penalty. He had made the atonement for my sin. We've been forgiven greatly. as we're going to see, and we need to be a forgiving people. Well, Brother Jim, I'm not going to forgive them unless they ask. Well, I tell you what, is that representative of the Lord? I tell you what, we need to just be a forgiving people. Someone offends us, somebody goes against us, somebody does something to hurt us or to that, we need to be willing to forgive them then. I know there is that operation that takes place, and when one would repent, we are to forgive them. We saw the Lord instructing that in Luke. But we need to have a heart and a mind and a way of forgiveness. If we are offended, and I've told you different times, we have it here about how to deal with that. If we just can't forget it and let it pass, then we've got a way to deal with our brother and sister that we might gain it and get it resolved. But, you know, we need to be of a heart and mind that if we can forgive it, to forgive it. And may the Lord help us in that. I believe 490 times. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And I believe that would apply not in a lifetime, but a day. Verse 23, therefore. That's the beginning of this part that we want to look at. The Lord's dealt with of this thing of forgiveness. Peter has made his inquiry. We saw the passage over in Luke. And Peter is looking for what he's obliged to work towards, and the Lord kind of shoots that down with him with 490 times, I believe, in a day. And then he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And so now an aspect of the kingdom is going to be explained to us. You and I being saved, we're in the kingdom of the Lord. We've seen that. We understand that from the Scripture. And here's an aspect of what it is and how it works in the kingdom and with the Lord's people, and an evidence about folks if indeed they are truly in the kingdom. I think we can get that from this passage. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought up unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. A talent, if we understand it, is something, there's a weight of something that a man could carry for a day. And that's estimated to be around 100, 120 pounds. Soldiers that are fit and well-trained, I think their pack will weigh 100, 150, maybe even 180 pounds. Some of the paratroopers that jump out of planes, the pack that they're equipped with is really, really heavy. And so this man, it came time, this king is going to take account, and the servant is brought up, this particular man, and he's found to owe 10,000 talents. I mean, it doesn't hardly matter what it is. Make it 10,000 talents of cotton. It's still a lot. The point is, if we understand it correctly, it's an unpayable debt. There's not enough days in the rest of his life. If it would then be talents of brass or talents of silver, or even talents of gold, it's unpayable. It's an unpayable debt. There's no hope for him. He's been a servant that has not been profitable by any means to the king, and this king begins to reckon with his servants and take account of what's going on with them, and this man is found to owe this unpayable debt. 10,000. I mean, 10,000 of anything is a lot. And no doubt it is substantial. Look what the Scripture says. But for as much, verse 25, as he had not to pay, he didn't have it then, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment be made. So there was a determination made by the king. He says, you owe it. Can you pay it? Nope, can't pay it. Okay, well, go take him. He tells there to his chamberlain or the one that's there over this affair there in his court, the king does, and says, sell him, sell his wife, sell his kids. Boy, that's terrible, isn't it? I mean, to think about that. But that's what the king commands. Sell them off, and then we'll take what we get out of them. And so that's the determination that the king makes. Look what he says here, verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So the man, seeing what his plight is for him and his family, his wife and his children, he worships the king. He bows down before, he falls down before him and saying, oh, have patience with me. I'll pay thee all. Have patience. Give me some time. I'll pay it back. Please, please, don't sell me. Don't sell my wife. Don't sell my children. Please. I'll pay it all back. And so that's his plea. He is repentant, I believe, in that, or seemingly so, and he begs the Lord for mercy in this. In verse number 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Not the king didn't say, okay, you've got some time. Go ahead and work at it so you can pay it back. I'll give you your time. You've got your position back so you can work that and use that, and you've got time. But rather than that, because this man worshiped him and because he pleaded with him that he would give him time, he made a promise that he would pay it all. He didn't, by hook or crook, try to seemingly make an excuse or anything like that, but he said, oh, please give me an opportunity. I'll pay it all back. He didn't try to get out of it. The Lord had compassion, and he not only did he give him time, he didn't do that. He went beyond that. He forgave him the debt. 10,000 talents, no matter what it was, forgiven. Forgiven. A clean slate. Back to a clean slate. He had been forgiven. It was a great debt. But no doubt the king was impacted by missing those 10,000 talents or whatever. This man, if he was likened to the other accounts in the scripture, if he was like a steward, there had been that also that the king had lost that he should have gained. So what was lost here was, if I understand it right, was the principle. The principle was lost. What the king would have invested in the operation of this man, this servant, not only did what he would have gained from the 10,000 talents was that lost or not gained, but then he lost the principle to boot. But he had compassion on him. He says, I forgive you the debt. I forgive you the debt. Remember, Peter has asked the question, how many times do I forgive? How many times do I forgive? And so it goes on here in verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence, it's just like pocket change. It's not much. It is a payable debt. It is a debt that even with enough time, even a poor man over time could pay the debt back. And so this one that has been forgiven, he goes out and finds this other fella that he knows. And what happens is he's found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a very small debt, and he laid hands on him. And you notice that? And it says, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. I was in a video the other day of this story and this account. And then during the course of that video, a man takes another by the throat. I mean, boy, that's serious. He's got his windpipe in his hand. I think of that when I think of this man and read that. Not to strangle him, but he's got him by his windpipe. He says, pay me what you owe me. I mean, that's serious. I mean, he's threatening the man with death. He's getting the man's attention about paying him what he owes him, and because he wants him to do it, and the man owes it to him, and he is threatening him big time. Pay me what you owe me. And threatens the man's life there in a sense. And his fellow servant, verse 29, fell down at his feet. That sound familiar? Yeah, that's what he did, wasn't it? And besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Those are the same words he said, wasn't it? And I find that interesting. It's like a verbatim quote of what the man said before the king, so does his fellow servant say before him. And in verse 30, and he would not. He would not. But went out and cast him into prison. He sought suit against his fellow servant, and he had him cast into prison till he should pay the debt. And so here, this man forgiven a great debt that would not be payable. It's an unpayable debt. He, being forgiven such, went out and found his fellow servant. And his fellow servant owed him a very small debt, a debt that he could pay back. And he did not have patience with him. He actually sought to have the man put in prison until he should pay the debt. He had no consideration for the man's wife. We don't know about the man's wife, but he had no consideration for his family, did he? Had no consideration for his children like the Lord had him. But he, being very cruel and very wicked, as we're going to see, had that fellow servant thrown into prison. Verse number 31. There's always somebody looking on, isn't there? So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they might have been there when he was there before the king. And now they were there while he was there with his fellow servant, making this threat, desiring for this debt to be paid back. And these others that were there looking on and they saw what was done, they were very sorry because they knew his behavior was not correct, didn't they? And came and told unto their Lord all that was done. So the word got back to the king, didn't it? The word got back to the king. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. It's likened unto this. Verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said, get that guy back in here, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. That word desires is talking about begging or beseeching or calling for or entreating or praying unto. He made his request to the Lord, to the king, didn't he? He said, have patience with me in verse number 26, and I'll pay it all. I'll pay it all back. He says, I forgave that debt simply because you desirest me, because you entreated me for that. You prayed unto me for that. You desired that. You begged me for it. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? That word compassion there in verse 33 and that word pity are the same Greek word, to be gracious and merciful. He says, I forgave you a great debt. Shouldn't you have not have done the same thing with your fellow servant that didn't owe you much at all? Shouldn't you have had pity like I had pity on you? Shouldn't you have had compassion on him like I had on you? Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, verse 34, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Don't you find that interesting that it says it that way, verse 34? Till he should pay all that was due unto him, could he? No. And in debtor's prison, it would be even a worse situation because there's overhead with being in the debtor's prison. It'd be one thing to be free to try to repay the debt, but in the debtor's prison, there's no hope of paying the debt back. The man got what he pressed for his fellow servant. Listen to what it says here at the end of the chapter. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Is that the way your Bible reads? That's the way my Bible reads. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts. Doesn't talk about body. Doesn't talk about action. It talks about that from which all of that would stem from. That which only the Lord sees. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. An aspect of the kingdom. I think that what we can see from this is indeed we're to be a forgiving people, aren't we? We're to be forgiving across the board. The reference here is brother, and Peter is being dealt with by the Lord. And the Lord goes on to say in other passages, we know, what's he say about our enemies? Fight against them? No, he says feed them. He says, give them to drink. He said, the scripture says to pray for them which despitefully use you and abuse you. We know the Lord says that. Here it is with brethren, but then we know the Lord says about the same for all men. Isn't that the next to the greatest commandment, the one that's very similar to the first? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, your own skin. And the Lord does say, I want to qualify this, in that the Lord does tell us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But offenses are going to come, and we are going to be offended. But you know what? Can anyone offend us any greater than what we've offended the Lord in our sin? No. The debts pale in comparison, don't they? We're to be the kingdom, the children of the kingdom are a forgiving people, like unto their Father, like unto our Heavenly Father. Well, Brother Jim, well, tell me the point. I understand about that. Listen, you claim to be saved. Do you forgive like the Lord forgives? And the Lord got down to the nitty-gritty here when He talked about our heart, what He sees. We need to forgive others from the heart before the Lord. Have you been hurt? Yeah, I know the answer is yes. We've all been hurt. But even in that greatest hurt, we are to be forgiving as the Lord is forgiving, an aspect of the kingdom. You know what? It's by this very thing. Remember how those other fellow servants were looking on? And they saw what was done and they were saddened by it. And they took it to the Lord, right, and told Him everything that was done. You know, I think what we see from this is that there are those, I was one, that professed to have Christ as Savior. I professed to be saved. But if you'd have been able to look into the bitterness of my heart and the lack of forgiveness in my heart, it would have been manifested that I was not. Children of God do manifest a forgiving spirit. Peter is going to be crucified, right? Isn't that what the Lord tells him before the Lord's ascension? And you know what? I think Peter was a man that was, he was like us. He would be a man that would be very easy to hold a grudge. But you know what? The Lord was working on him, wasn't He? Don't you know, and we don't know for sure, but don't you know as they took Peter, and we understand that he was to die that way. Historically, we're told that he wanted to be crucified upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified the way his Lord was. And don't you know that Peter willingly laid down to be crucified? They didn't have to wrestle our brother down. I don't figure that they did. And don't you know that our brother Peter, that as they would take him to be crucified and they would kill him, as they kept him there in hold before they took him, the Lord had worked in him and shown him such great compassion. The one that had said, was 7 times enough? And the Lord said, no, 490. Shoot for that. No doubt He witnessed to those men that even put Him to death. I don't know that. I speculate that. But we know Peter, by the time he writes his epistles, is a man that's been changed. He's not looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ because he knows he's going to die. How many times I forgive him, Lord? Till 7 times? No, till 70 times 7. The children of God, the children in the kingdom, are a forgiving children. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, verse 35, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. A forgiving people. I want to read a couple scriptures to you in regards to this. In Psalm 130, consider what the scripture says here. And this is the way that needs to be with us. We can only do part of this, but is the example that comes to us. In Psalm 130, verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. We need to be merciful, don't we? Maybe the man deserved to be put in prison till he paid his debt. But if this man truly would have been saved... See, it says he was delivered to the tormentors. if this man truly would have been saved, he would have been forgiving to his fellow servant also. He had been forgiven a great debt, like we've been forgiven of our sins. He would have been willing to forgive a man that essentially, in comparison, owed him nothing. With the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Plenteous. Plenteous redemption, plenteous mercy is indeed an example to us. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In verse number 10, the scripture says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, bold men, publicans, and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why is he eating with those people that are wretched and wicked and folks that we despise? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." You know, if we've suffered a loss at the hand of another person, and we be willing to forgive them that hurt, that rejection, that loss, God sees that. I believe God honors that. He wants mercy. He likes to see his children be like him. Does he not tell us to be like him? Does he not tell us to take on his divine nature, to take on his attributes? And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit being manifested, and those things that we've seen in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we're to add to our faith. He enjoys us being like him. He doesn't want sacrifice. He wants to see mercy in his children. See what he says there? He says, "But go learn what that meaneth." For years I had problems understanding all about what this myth means, and I still don't understand it all. But I believe the Lord is showing us that. He said, "I will have mercy." That's my preference over sacrifice. "For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6. We kind of see the summary of it. Verse 27. "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you." Somebody is running you down or giving you a good curse, and the Lord says to bless them. Right? Isn't that what it says? "Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." Don't hold it to you. But if they're going to steal that from you, let them take it. "Give to every man that asketh of thee. And him that taketh away thy goods, ask not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." And if you want it to be lended to you, then lend it. If you want a thing given to you, then give it. How we would want to be, if we had a need and we needed help with it, the way we would want to be treated is the way that we should treat others. "And as ye would that men do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." It's the standard of the world to be reciprocal, right? To receive and to give. To give and receive, right? "And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same." So, I'll give you five, you give me five. It's a wash. We're never out anything. "And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's been so to us, hasn't He? You know, whatever we have, we've been given by the Lord, right? Even if we've worked hard for it, even if we've worked very, very hard for it, it is the Lord that gave us the ability to work for it. Amen? He's the one that made it to where we could have the job, have the employment, have the presence of mind to be able to do the job that we have. And the thing is my tendency is I want to hang on to it with that white-knuckle grip because I worked so hard to get it. I fear that I may not be able to get it again. But the Lord who gave it to me in the first place, if I'm called upon it to give that away, can He not do the same? He can. And He says there that we might be called, that we might be the children of the Highest. It says in verse number 36, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Children of the kingdom are going to be forgiving. Children of the kingdom are going to be merciful. Well, remember what mercy is? You know, grace is getting that which we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. That's mercy. I deserve to pay the debt for my sin, but the Lord has been merciful to me in that the Lord Jesus Christ somehow, some way, has paid for Jim Duke's sins. Oh, and it was a great debt. It was a great debt. No other debt that a man could owe me could even begin to be on par with it. Could even show up to be the beginning of the debt of my sin. If I've been forgiven my sin, who is there that I can't forgive? Yes, we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Yes, there is a thing regarding those that offend us or those that sin against us or transgress against us. There's that thing of honor that's there. It's a thing that's real. It's there. But forgiveness, we need to forgive. And may the Lord help us. Those that are feigning to be the children of God, and I know that we learn and we grow, and it very well may be found that there might be exceptions to the rule, but I believe the Lord says, He says the Lord's going to do this with us. If we say that we're the Lord's, but we don't do those things that are pleasing to Him, how can it really be found that we are? So may the Lord help us in that.